DJ Rampage.
What's up, black sheep? No, not who I am or when I'm coming, so you sleep. Wasn't in my home or wasn't in your sphere. Knew not who I was, but listen here. Press the R-E-S. Yes, I guess I can start. If it's alright with you, I'll rip this head joint apart. Back middle to the front, no front. Want a good time, want to give you what you want. Can I hear a hey? Hey, giddy up. You got a hat. Just for the the styling is creative. Black sheep of the native. Can be violated or even desiccated. I got brothers in the jungle. Mr. Long Dress, black sheep slam now. No, you heard the others, only silver lovers. Then, of course, the choice is yours.
You can deal with this, or you can deal with that. You can deal with this, or you can deal with that. You can deal with this, or you can deal with that. I think you can deal with this, because this is where it's at. You can deal with this, or you can deal with that. You can deal with this, or you can deal with that. You can deal with this, or you can deal with that. I think you can deal with this, because this is kind of fat.
Where's the black sheep? Here's the black sheep. Even if we wanted to, the clock cannot be weak. Why should we swing it like this? Why should I swing it like that? Because in fact, on me it might not attract. Therefore I ignore, I do as I feel inside. I live with me, I've got my back tonight, you know what I'm saying? Yo, black, I'm not playing. Need to go with this and go with this with no delay and see. In actuality,
back on the Rubicon with James Lewis and Janelle King. If you missed the show on Sirius XM Channel 141, HR Voices, you can always find us. I decided to podcast the show. I wasn't sure, but then I started talking to sponsors. They're like, look, if we're going to cut some checks, you're going to have to podcast the show.
And business is business.
Right. So that completely, I know we talked, and I was like, I'm not podcasting the show because I might say something out of pocket on Trump administration. I don't want anybody to be able to hit the rewind button
and hear it again,
I'm in hot water. But the sponsors, they're just like, if we're going to pay, then you need to have some type of second option
for people
that are not listening.
Business is business.
So that changed everything. I wanted to talk. We're having a fascinating conversation here. I wanted to talk, and one of the great things about having Janelle on the show is her clinical experience. And I'm getting into my serious baritone voice here. So. I had a conversation with a close friend of mine.
Okay.
That was kind of on the front lines during COVID. Now, he's not a clinician.
Uh-huh.
He's a chaplain.
Okay.
But he's a chaplain. And he really talked about his experiences during COVID. And how so many people passed away from COVID.
You know, I
talked about my mother passed away from COVID, so I know what it's like to be in the ICU. Someone that you love is on a ventilator. Mm-hmm. You're working with the nurses. I'm a healthcare executive. I know that the nurses do 90% of the work.
Yep.
You know, the doctors have to come in and do their stamp of approval from a documentation perspective.
Right.
But the nurses are the ones doing the work.
Yes,
the nurses are the ones turning people and comforting people. And my friend, it really changed his perspective. You know, he talked about his own personal burnout. He talked about people on the clinical side being burned out.
Yep.
Because you're not trained to see six people die every day. It's
right.
just not part of the training.
Right.
And obviously, people like yourself that are in nursing, you got into nursing to help people.
Right.
And you want to see people have positive outcomes. So I think when you go through that repeated cycle of just you're doing your best that you can to save somebody and you're not able to save them. And then you see all these people, they go through the stages. I remember my mother, I'm getting a little emotional here, but my mother early when she was hospitalized with COVID, she had the fighter spirit. Like she was going to fight it.
Mm-hmm.
She was very positive. She was very upbeat. Around week three, I could see that it had changed.
Yeah.
And she emailed me and she just said, I'm tired.
Yeah.
Like I'm physically tired. Like every breath
is work. Yeah.
And by week three, when somebody says, well, I'm tired, and I'm just like, well, mom, don't get tired.
Yeah.
You know, but just, you can only do so much as a human being. I mean, we're all in, have finite time on this earth, and that's tough for nurses to see people that, and different ages. You know, I saw people next to my mother. Many of them were baby boomers, people in their 60s and 70s. I saw a little girl in there. It was maybe like 14, 13. I'm thinking that how did this person, everyone in the wing was COVID based. I saw this big, fat, 400-pound man. And I was looking at him, I was like, man, he's definitely not going to make it. Like, it's just, I saw families fighting and arguing over inheritance. I think that's the worst thing that I saw.
Oh, my goodness.
As I saw two brothers almost getting a fist fight. The father, you know, was they were taking him off the ventilator, and he was going to pass away. And they were fighting over, they're arguing over their inheritance.
Crazy.
And so it's just, it was a terrible time. But I was curious of your experiences. We don't always respect and appreciate our nurses and our clinicians and the work that they do. And I saw, you know, the nurse that was attending to my mother, I built a relationship with her. And I could see that it really bothered her because my mother was vaccinated.
Yeah.
And she just didn't, she wanted, she kept saying, you know, we really want your mother to pull through because she's done everything,
she did everything
that
right.
she was told to do. She's like, we've had people that came in that didn't get the vaccine, that didn't do this and that, that weren't healthy, that my mom was vegetarian, you know, all of these things that were smokers. My mom wasn't a smoker. She's like, we've seen people come in that did everything wrong and they survived.
Right.
But your mom's pretty much done everything right, and it doesn't look good for her. And I could see the stress in her, and just multiply that by hundreds of people. What is the state of nursing for individuals like yourself? And I know that you're not on the unit anymore like you used to be, but it's got to be stressful in your circles and in your colleagues after what we went through with COVID. And then just the day-to-day, it's a very stressful job. And I wanted to give you a chance to spotlight you and shout you out for the work that's done, because it's so stressful to be a nurse. There's so many things that, and I think it's changed since COVID. It's really different.
You have to think about that. Like, even inpatient, outpatients, nurses are working with people that are sicker. They're getting more patients. So the nurse to staff ratios are greater. So you're taking care of more patients who are sicker. So, you know, you think about that. They're understaffed, may not always have the resources that they need. There's also, like, you got to think about patient violence. Sometimes you have patients coming in with, may have, like, mental health, psychiatric concerns, and so they're pretty much beating up on the nurses. It's a really...
Yeah, expand on that, because So I remember doing a training years ago for a consulting role, and they talked about violence with nursing. And I'm ignorant. I'm an ivory tower guy. Like, I was just, I'm counting the money. I'm not going nowhere near where anyone has any germs. I happen to be, you've been friends with me. I'm a germaphobe. I'm afraid of germs. Like, I remember when I was at Kettering going through my orientation, you know, I was in a program, an executive leadership program, and they do rotations. I'm finance. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to stay in finance, but just to be in the program, you have to do a rotation in the ER.
Right.
Just happened that the swine flu was going around.
Oh, goodness.
And I remember, you know, a person had swine flu, and they were getting sick. They were vomiting into one of those...
Oh, the bag, Emerson's bags.
And I saw him, and, you know, it was a straight path to walk by him to get to where I was going.
Oh my gosh.
I did, like, a complete... around, like, I walked to the other side of the room because I didn't want to breathe this guy's air. I was just like, man, if I walk up on this guy, that might be me in a couple of days.
Oh, boy.
I don't, and so it's just, I can't do that. It's not
for everybody.
I'm not built for that.
Yeah.
I just need to be focused. But I have so much respect for the people that do, the people that are really on the front lines and really managing, whether it's pandemic, whether it's just somebody who's elderly, whether it's somebody, you know, when I had Lyme disease, I spent some time in hospitals, unfortunately being hospitalized. And I was just like, I said to my family, I was just like, I don't want to die in the hospital when my time comes. It's like, I want to die at home watching reruns of Seinfeld. Like, I don't have nothing to do. It's like, hospitals are crazy. I was next to this elderly man that was screaming for water. He was going through dementia.
Oh,
I'm trying to sleep.
Gosh.
It's at 3 a.m. He's like, water. I need water. Give me some water. And I wanted to get up and tell him to shut the bleep up. Like, it's just, so that's what. But those are the stressful things that you go through. It drove me nuts for 3 days being hospitalized while I was getting tested. But that's what your people deal with
the everyday life,
for 30 years.
Everyday life. And then you have to think about it. Like, a lot of the nurses are baby boomers, so they're starting to retire.
Right.
So that institutional knowledge is going out the door. And then you have new nurses coming in, and you know, they're realizing that nursing is not always that easy. So they're leaving the profession, I think. There's been a recent study that said...
I know a lot of people left during COVID.
Yeah, it's...
I have a good friend that worked in Long Island.
Yeah, and she was hard...
They got hit hard.
Yeah.
And like within the first 2 weeks of COVID, I think she had a day where she was like, I saw a dozen people die.
The deaths, it's the
understaffing. And she looked at her husband. Her husband was like a big time C-suite executive, yeah. and they had plenty of money. She just left her career. She was like, F that, I'm going home.
And then you have like management who's not listening or supporting nurses, not providing them with the resources they need to do their job, I think being in it, nursing, you get into nursing to do the care for individuals, but it feels like now that, you know, institutions are valuing money over people, right? So they're trying to cut corners, trying to make sure that their, you know, funds are great and doing well. But at the end of the day, this is at this sacrifice of nurses and nurses doing the work. So we're doing it with less equipment, less people, sicker individuals. So it's not easy. PTSD, a lot of nurses that I know, you know, who worked in COVID, who were in the heart, you know, New York, still have PTSD, and some of them unresolved PTSD from taking care of those individuals during COVID. So it is definitely a lot more stressful, and nurses are like either leaving the bedside or they're like pivoting and trying to find something else. Right. So, which is unfortunate.
Now, do you miss being, I know that you work with young women. I think it's great to have women that, you know, you've had a child and you're married and you know the full panorama. So that's great. But do you ever miss being on the floor?
I miss direct patient care. And I think why it hits nurses so hard is because you do develop relationships with your patients. Even if you're working outpatient, you see this person constantly. They may come in every couple days, every few months. And so you develop a relationship. You know about their family. They kind of know about yours. And so when things shift, and so, you know, management is looking at more at dollars versus looking at what their staff needs, it's very hurtful. And so that's when you get the stress and the burnout. And nurses, we're always going to try to make it work with less, right?
You don't like the management. I'm seeing that in your voice. Because you're talking about me. You're basically
I feel...
You dislike the decisions that I've made.
They have a poor impact. And I feel like CEOs or people managing hospitals should be somebody who has a license.
But what about so you should not be able to...
Not if you don't have
a hospital if you don't have a nursing license.
Not a nursing license. It could be an MD.
I've worked with people that said that to me when I've been in executive roles. They're like, well, you're not a nurse. I'm not going to listen to you.
And
I'm like, you are going to listen to me, or you're not going to have a job on Tuesday. Like, it's just, let's work together.
I just don't think they really, people who don't come from that clinical background, who have not been on the front, they don't really have
so you don't really respect what I do.
No, I do respect what you do. I think that there's more room to understand better what we do from a clinician side and our needs, right? So you guys are looking at dollars and cents, like, oh, we don't need this extra body. We don't need another full-time person. Let's just do, you know, contract staffing, which is it's terrible because, you know, you got to continue to rehire these people, get them up to speed, and then in 3 weeks they're gone. So how is that helping the floor? So I think there's room for improvement from the management position.
So we're going to put a pin in that. We're going to cut the break. It's getting a little heated because Janelle is basically telling the audience that I'm incompetent and don't add any value. But I do want to draw from some experience because I like what you're saying. And I want to kind of walk you through some of the leadership experience that I've had because I've learned so much from clinical people. And so we'll discuss that. We'll be back on the Rubicon Healthcare for the Culture after these messages.
What is it?
Ask him. What's she talking about?
Walt?
I have cancer. Lung cancer. It's bad.
Live from the Paragon 7 Studios, the Rubicon, in 3, 2, 1.
Paragon 7 Studios.
Hip
hip-hop has been a reflection of culture and society.
That includes stories of struggle
and pain,
social injustice,
racial inequality,
the marginalization of communities.
Today,
we confront a healthcare system
that has been rigged against all of us.
Hospitals force patients to sign contracts for services
without ever showing us actual prices,
stifling competition,
overcharging without accountability.
And if we can't pay these same contracts,
allow them to take everything we own,
creating so much fear that millions and millions of Americans refuse to enter our hospital,
putting our health and our lives at stake.
This is an American humanitarian crisis.
We love our nurses
and we need our doctors,
but hospitals and insurers
rigging a system to make profits off of people that's in struggle is unforgivable.
We demand prices
and transparency in healthcare.
How? To the patients.
Anyone can struggle with mental health. Your daughter, your neighbor across the street, your boss, maybe even you. We want you to know there's hope, because there's 988. 988 is more than a number. It's a lifeline to call or text when you need help and don't know where to turn.
Hello, you've reached the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline.
Call or text 988 day or night to get the help you deserve.